Greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and welcome as we gather together for yet another online service. If we'd been meeting in the sanctuary this morning, we would have begun our service by singing a grand old hymn of the faith called The Solid Rock. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. How true. Not our blood, not our righteousness, but Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. When darkness veils his lovely face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. His oath, his covenant, his blood support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, he then is all my hope and stay. When he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. Amen and praise be to God. Let us pray together. Our Father and our God, how we praise you that you allowed your Son Jesus to come to this earth to be our Savior. And he is our solid rock. He is our righteousness. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, for every person who puts their complete trust in Jesus as Savior and Lord, because we know that all who do will be with you for all of eternity. And when that trumpet shall sound, we will be found in him. And for this, Lord, we praise you and give you thanks. The hymn writer said, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for being who you are, what you did for us, for being our righteousness. We praise you. We thank you for all eternity. Amen. You may wish to have your Bibles with you today because we're going to be reading from Revelation chapter 12, verse 12, through to chapter 13, verse number 1. That'll be a little bit later. From where we are standing now in all of history and looking forward to future, there are many incredible events that are going to happen in the future time. It's going to affect absolutely every person on earth. It doesn't matter where we are on earth, we are going to be affected. Perhaps the greatest event that's going to take place, certainly for believers, is what is known as the rapture. What is the rapture? The rapture is a time when the trumpet of God is going to sound. And every true believer is going to hear that trumpet. And we are going to be responding to it. And then we'll be taken up to be with him in the air. Now, can you imagine the kind of impact that is going to make upon the world? I don't know how many people that are Christians in the world. There are about 7.8 billion people on earth now. Would a billion or 2 billion or 3 billion people be Christians? I do not know. But however many they are going to be taken up out of this earth all at once, at one time, and the earth is never going to be the same again. We're going to be caught up in the clouds, and we are finally going to meet our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, King Jesus. We are going to meet him and talk to him face to face. Now, this whole situation is absolutely unbelievable to many people. It seems to be preposterous. Humanly speaking, it is not possible. But divinely speaking, it is possible. It will be a supernatural event. When you and I look back over history and we think about the very act of creation, that God created the universe so that the earth could comfortably be in the universe, and he created the earth so that humankind and all life as we know it could comfortably exist on the earth. This was not a result of some big bang, not a result from the goo to the zoo, as one person said, and from the zoo to humankind. No, that's not the way it is. It is as a result of creation. God's creation, creating us in his image. It was God who created the universe and the heavens and the earth and everything that is in it. It is God who allowed the flood to come on this earth, the complete flood, the complete earth, not just a localized flood, but one throughout the entire world itself. God is the one who caused the Red Sea to be parted, an unbelievable task, something that humans could not accomplish. God did it so that the Israelites could walk across on dry ground. And of course, it was God who created the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. All supernatural events. And believe me, the rapture is a supernatural event. When all believers are gone, think again, 7.8 billion people on earth, 1 or 2 billion or however many, will be taken up off this earth. It's going to affect everything that we do, affect every person on earth. There's going to be a great void of leadership. When you think of where Christians are today, in education, in the medical field, in industry, in organizations, wherever Christians are, they are going to be gone. They're going to be missing. And these many organizations and institutions are going to have a great deal of difficulty in operating. There's going to be a great void. And into this void, there will step a world dictator called the Antichrist. And coincident with his rise to power, there will also be someone who will step forward as the chief religious officer. He will be known as the false prophet, the head of a false religion. Because remember, the Church of Jesus Christ is no longer here. So it will be made up of everyone else who is not Christian. Together, the Antichrist and the false prophet will rule. Thanks be to God that their time is limited to a period of 7 years. But there will be many catastrophic events that will take place during that time. We know those catastrophic events are going to take place during the tribulation. Is it the rapture that triggers off the tribulation? No, it is not. It is the rapture will occur sometime after the rapture will begin the tribulation. And it begins when the world dictator, the Antichrist, signs a treaty with Israel. That will be the beginning of the seven-year tribulation period. We know this world has and is suffering a lot of tribulation. There are local tribulations, there are national tribulations, and in this pandemic, there's even a worldwide tribulation. But this is nothing compared to the tribulation that's going to happen during the tribulation period, a period of 7 years. Now, previously in our study in the book of Revelation, we read about a war in heaven between Michael and his angels and Satan and his angels, or fallen angels, and they have all been hurled out of heaven. Satan has been cast out. So now let us pick up a reading in chapter 12 of the book of Revelation, beginning to read at verse number 12. Let us hear the word of God. Therefore rejoice, you heavens, and you who dwell in them, but woe to the earth and the sea, because the devil has gone down to you. He is filled with fury, because he knows that his time is short. When the dragon saw that he had been hurled to the earth, he pursued the woman who had given birth to the male child. The woman was given the two wings of a great eagle, so that she might fly to the place prepared for her in the desert, where she would be taken care of for a time, times, and a half time, out of the serpent's reach. Then from his mouth the serpent spewed water like a river to overtake the woman and sweep her away with the torrent. But the earth helped the woman by opening its mouth and swallowing the river with the dragon that the dragon had spewed out of his mouth. Then the dragon was enraged at the woman and went off to make war against the rest of her offspring, those who obey God's commandments and hold to the testimony of Jesus. And the dragon stood on the shore of the sea. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Now, there are three phrases that we can use this morning that will assist us in remembering what this passage of chapter 12 is all about. The three phrases are Satan's fury, eagle's wings, and God's rescue. Satan's fury, eagle's wings, God's rescue. Satan's fury. Now, Satan has existed for eons of time. Satan began his work on earth when he tempted Adam and Eve. He wanted to get them away from relying upon God their Father. But all down through history, Satan has been furious. His fury will increase when he's been cast to this earth permanently. We remember the story of Esther, when Haman, who was second in charge to the king, when because one man, a Jew, by the name of Mordecai, would not bow down to him, to Haman, Haman wanted to take revenge. It's interesting to me that Haman not only wanted to rid the world of Mordecai, but he wanted to rid the world of every Jew throughout the land. This had to be satanically inspired. Satan inspired Haman, and Haman ultimately met his own death, but his intention was to rid this world of the Jews. Herod, remember King Herod at the time of the birth of Jesus. Once he heard there was a baby born and he was going to be the king of Israel, Herod ordered that every little boy under 2 years of age would be killed in the Bethlehem area. This had to be satanically inspired. In our own era, Hitler eliminated 6 million Jews, and if he had continued to be in power, he would have eliminated every Jew on earth. This had to be satanically inspired. And today, we have Muslims who want to rid the world of Israel and rid the world of the Jews. This also has to be satanically inspired. Well, now that Satan is hurled out of heaven and on earth, whom does he attack? He follows his pattern. He wants to attack the Jews. Now, we have to look at this passage again. In this passage, we discover there have been various titles ascribed to the devil. He was called the devil, the dragon, the serpent. All of these descriptions are about Satan. And the scripture says, when the dragon saw that he had been hurled to the earth, he pursued the woman who had given birth to the male child. Remember in our study of a couple of weeks ago, this male child is Israel, who had given birth to the male child, and the male child, of course, was Jesus. Now here he is, and the Jews are still operating in Israel and around the world at this point. And what does he want to do? He wants to attack Israel. He wants to attack the Jews yet again. I believe this will be the last wave of anti-Semitism on this earth. It'll be even worse than what it was in Haman's time, or worse than what it was in Hitler's time, even worse than what it is right now. You and I know that God reached down from heaven, chose a man out of Ur of the Chaldees by the name of Abram. His name was later changed to Abraham. And God chose to reveal himself to Abram, and Abram put all of his trust, his faith, in God the Father. And his people, Abraham's people, became the Jews. His people were the people of Israel. His land was the land of Israel. And Satan has been against the land of Israel and everything that God stands for ever since. The tribulation is known as the time of is also known as the time of Jacob's trouble. Jacob's name became Israel. It's the time of Israel's trouble. Satan continues to hate anything that belongs to God, and in particular, he hates the Jews because God chose the Jews as his chosen people, and he has an inbred, eternal hatred for the Jews. Interesting that in Matthew's gospel, when Jesus was speaking, in Matthew 24, Jesus said, so when you see standing in the holy place the abomination that causes desolation spoken of through the prophet Daniel, let the reader understand Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Jesus is telling them that they have to flee. Satan is attacking, and they are to flee. Satan's fury. Second point, eagle's wings. In verse 14, the woman, people of Israel, was given the two wings of a great eagle so that she might fly to the place prepared for her in the desert, where she would be taken care of for a time, times, and half a time. That time is 1 year, times would be 2 years, half a time would be a half a year. So 1 + 2 = 3 + 1/2 = 3.5 years. Now the scripture says, two wings of a great eagle. What could this be? Could it be literally a huge eagle that God has prepared, lands in Israel, all the people who are told to flee get on the two wings or on the body of the eagle, and the eagle then flies them away to a place that's been prepared for them for their protection? Yes, indeed, that's exactly what it could be, because you and I know nothing is impossible with God. But there is another possible explanation. I want to look back to Exodus chapter 19, verse 4. And in Exodus 19, verse 4, we read this. You yourselves have seen what I did to Egypt, says the Lord, and how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. This was an allegory speaking to the people, saying that I took you from the land of Egypt on eagle's wings and took you to the promised land. It means rapid transportation out of Israel and to a place that has been prepared. Some have said perhaps this is an airlift, and indeed it could be. And some have gone even further and said, since the national symbol of the United States is an eagle, perhaps it is the United States that will provide airplane transportation to remove the people out of Israel, out of the land where Satan is pursuing them and prosecuting them and killing them, and moving the people of Israel to a place that's been prepared for them for their protection. We don't know exactly what it's going to be, but what we do know is there will be rapid transportation for the people of Israel out of there during the height of the persecution, and they will be transported to a place where they will be protected. So we've looked at two phrases so far: Satan's fury, eagle's wings, and now God's rescue. And I would like to add a word to that, because not only is it God's rescue, but it is also God's protection. Now, just as an aside, in present-day Jordan, there's a place called Petra. It is a well-fortified place. Perhaps God has prepared this place for Israel's protection. On the other hand, it could well be another place that he has prepared. But there are many who think that during this 3.5-year protection, it is in Petra where the Jewish people are going to end up. It's one thing to be rescued. It is another thing to be protected. Satan, of course, is not going to be pleased. He seeks more revenge, and he determines that even in this protected place, he is going to attack the people of Israel. Now, in verse number 15, we read this. These words are describing the kind of attack that Satan is going to have against or take against the people who are being protected by God. Satan hasn't learned yet that when people have God's protection, he cannot touch them. So what does the scripture say? Then from his mouth, Satan's mouth, or the Antichrist's mouth, Satan working through him, the serpent spewed water like a river to overtake the woman and sweep her away with the torrent. Can you imagine this? What do we see in our minds? I wonder if this is a river. The scripture says it is a river. A number of years ago, I remember Len and Don Conium were in Israel, and they were going to Petra. And while they were there, not in Petra, but just before, just after they were there, a great flood occurred in Petra, and great water rushed through Petra itself. And I was reminded of this verse in Scripture. So whether it is actual water, or as some people have speculated, perhaps it is Satan advancing his armies toward the people now in Petra or in the protected area, I don't know. But in verse 16, but the earth helped the woman, the people of Israel, by opening its mouth and swallowing the river that the dragon had spewed out of his mouth. Now, kind of interesting, we take a look at Numbers chapter 16, beginning to read at verse 28. Now, this was the time when the people of Israel were coming out of Egypt and on their way to the promised land. And there were some people who were fighting against the leadership of Moses. So what does the passage tell us in Numbers 16, beginning to read at verse 28? Then Moses said, this is how you will know that the Lord has sent me to do all these things, and that was not my idea. If these men die a natural death and experience only what usually happens to men, then the Lord has not sent me. But if the Lord brings about something totally new, and the earth opens its mouth and swallows them with everything that belongs to them, and they go down alive to the grave, then you will know that these men have treated the Lord with contempt. They were against the leadership of Moses, therefore against the leadership of the Lord. As soon as he finished saying all this, the ground under them split apart, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed them with their households and all Korah's men and all their possessions. It happened before. It's going to happen again, whether it's water that's being swallowed up or whether it'll be armies that's being swallowed up in this tribulation period. Just remember that everything God is for, Satan is against. And Satan will do everything that he can to eliminate anything of God on this earth and anywhere in which he has influence. Satan, through the Antichrist and through the false prophet, attacks other Jews. Who are these Jews? Well, because he couldn't get at the Jews in Petra or in this protected place, the scripture says, then the dragon was enraged at the woman and went off to make war against the rest of her offspring, those who obey God's commandments and hold to the testimony of Jesus. Perhaps these are Jews who now put their trust in Jesus, or perhaps it's the 144,000 that are still here proclaiming the gospel. Maybe it's even Christians who've placed their trust in Jesus. Satan is dissatisfied that he couldn't complete his mission, and now he's going to take his mission out in other areas. Now remember, the church is no longer on earth at this point. The church, the true body of believers in Jesus, has been extracted out of this earth. They are with him during this seven-year period. Satan is doing his worst during the 7 years here on this earth in tribulation. So our scripture today gave us three phrases, three facts. One was Satan's fury, the other was eagle's wings, and the third was God's rescue, and I added the word protection. There are going to be tough times ahead. The tribulation is coming. The time of Jacob's trouble is coming. How far ahead? We don't know. But what we do know is that soon that rapture is going to occur. Are you watching? Are you waiting? Are you working for Jesus in the meantime? Important questions that we all have to answer. Following the rapture, by some days, weeks, months, we don't know. But following the rapture, the evil one will sign a treaty. And when he signs that treaty with Israel, that's the beginning of the tribulation period. It will be the time of God's wrath against all who have rejected him and rejected his son as Savior. That's why it's so important for people to come to the Savior today. Now, you and I have divine insight. We have divine insight because of the book of Revelation. This was God's word to Jesus, Jesus' word to the angel's word to John, and John's word to you and to me. What does this have meaning to you and to me this morning? The meaning is this. Have you given your life fully to Jesus? Have you recognized that you are a sinner in the need of a Savior, and Jesus is the only one who can be your Savior? Have you repented of your sin, truly repented, and invited Jesus into your life? And have you put all of your trust in him? I trust that you have done so. And if you have not, that you today, right this moment, will put your trust in Jesus, repent of your sin, trust him for life eternal. Amen. Now again, if we had been in our service this morning, we'd be concluding with a hymn. And that hymn this morning is, Marvelous Grace of Our Loving Lord, Grace That Exceeds Our Sin and Our Guilt. Yonder on Calvary's mount outpoured, there where the blood of the Lamb was spilt, the Lamb being Jesus. Sin and despair, like the sea waves cold, threaten the soul with infinite loss. Grace that is greater, yes, grace untold, points to the refuge, the mighty cross. Marvelous, infinite, matchless grace, freely bestowed on all who believe. You that are longing to see his face, will you this moment his grace receive? Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sin. And indeed, it is infinite grace. I pray that you have taken advantage of the grace of God being poured out upon you this day. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be poured out upon you, rest upon you, this day and forevermore. In our blessed Savior's name we pray. Amen.